Today is February 26, 2016, and this is a special episode number 348 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and my job today is the introducer of foreign guests. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com. And with that note, may I please introduce you, Ewan.
Hello, chaps.
Now, for everyone that's like, Ewan, who's Ewan? This is Ewan Rankin. And Ewan is a good friend and an really awesome guy and prolific podcaster out of the UK. He is the man behind the British Tech Network. And those of you that follow the podcasts that I am regularly on, he is the man with the big smile trying to herd cats on the Big Show every Thursday afternoon or evening or morning, depending on what part of the world you're in.
And he used to have me on the Mac Show before he fired me.
Brian, I mean,
well, I'd fire me. I have fired me.
No, that's not fair. We got that cleaned up.
Oh, well, that's right. That's, okay. We did. I was not fired. I'm a huge fan of his, and, we got into a fantastic, argument on the Twitter. It was an actual Twitter fight.
Debate.
An intellectual argument, which could also be a debate.
A fight would be name-calling. There was no name-calling. There was ultimately respect between us through the whole thing.
Well,
there was strong opinions.
Fair enough. I was mystified.
Come on.
I was mystified, and you were perplexed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll do. And the subject, of course, of our discussion was, shockingly, this being apparently 2016, the Apple's a fight with the FBI.
Yeah. I've got to say I'm grateful for it, because otherwise we'd have had absolutely sod all to talk about on the Mac Show for the last few weeks.
That's true. All right. I need to give people a quick background so they know what we're diving into here. And the background is, in early December, Syed Farouk and his wife, Tashfeen Malik, they opened fire on their coworkers at San Bernardino County, killing 14 people, injuring 22 others, and the incident was declared to be a terrorist attack, and the husband and wife team, they were killed later in the day by law enforcement officials in a shootout. An iPhone was recovered from Syed, and that iPhone had been issued by San Bernardino County, where they both worked. And the FBI, about a month after the incident, enlisted Apple's help to recover what data they could from the device. And Apple helped the FBI get everything they possibly could. The FBI wants more data, or at least to look for more data. And so they wanted to be able to bypass the passcode on the device. Not possible. So they got a court order that says Apple must create a weaker version of iOS that removes the safeguards that would keep the FBI from launching a brute force attack on the passcode and ultimately gaining access to the device. Apple says that's overreach of government authority and a very dangerous precedent to set, because it would erode privacy and security for everyone, including the government. And the FBI says, no, 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 this is a one-off thing. Don't worry, you can destroy the code afterwards. And then in the meantime, we have found that there are lots of law enforcement agencies that are lining up to force Apple to do the same thing should this court order stand. And how's that for a nutshell wrap-up of the situation so far?
Yeah, pretty much.
We can probably add in an entire special episode's worth of details.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't want to spend forever talking about that because we have you in here.
Well, I think one of the things that perplexes British people, and I am definitely speaking for my compadres on this side of the Atlantic, and I mean
we're okay with that.
I mean nothing by the statement I'm about to make, but I find it incredible that two people shooting up a federal building launches a debate about backdoor encryption on phones and not a debate about guns.
But, well, that's because we're insane in this country.
Yeah, okay, maybe. I didn't want to say that. I'm not suggesting that either because I've got family in America. But it's there's been no debate around the access to the guns these people had at all.
Now, isn't that fascinating? And you're right. That's actually pretty crazy.
It is, and gun control is one of the most hot button topics. U.S. Part of the stuff is your fault, man.
I don't want to distract from what we were talking about, but I just thought, as a starting point, the way that this maybe sets the tone between you and I, Brian, in a certain degree, because there's an awful lot of passion and being talked about the backdoor encryption thing, whereas in the UK we're sitting going, hang on a second, there's a whole load of other stuff here that's way more serious than this on top of it.
And let me offer, though, a little bit of insight. Part of our problem in the United States of America, and I'm being completely serious here, is our Puritan foundation. Despite the fact that the Puritans were a tiny percentage of the folks that came over from mostly Britain starting in the 17th century, we are at war with ourselves. All we want to do is have fun, yet we feel guilty about it. All we want to do is get drunk, and we feel guilty about it. All we want to do is just have a good time, and yet we constantly feel guilty about it. And we're in this complete war with ourselves. And I think that a lot of that gets funneled into the gun control debate as well. We're just at war with ourselves over a lot of things because we have some weird psychological baggage that some of our forefathers brought back from your country, brought over from your country.
Yeah, I mean, I shoot clay pigeons. I do a lot of clay pigeon shooting, and I really enjoy it. And I own shotguns, and I don't have a problem with guns being used for sports. I just think, the semi-automatic stuff, I just don't see how that fits into a modern culture.
Well, you can see how it fits in our modern culture, which is poorly.
Well, yeah. Okay, fair point.
All right, so the subject, I can't even remember exactly how we got onto it, but you were taking issue with Apple and the FBI, just Apple?
Yeah, I think
you were putting the onus on Apple.
What I'd like to avoid is who said it first, who started this kind of thing, because I don't think that really matters. So I'm willing to accept quite happily that the FBI were the ones that went public with this when Apple didn't want to know. And actually, they didn't even give Apple the disservice of telling them well in advance of going public in the press with it. It was kind of about the same time or thereabouts.
I don't think that's fair. I think Apple did start the public aspect of this debate. The FBI started the debate with public filings.
Right. And Apple, from what I understand, wanted that filing. They knew it was coming. They wanted the filing to be sealed so that this would not be a public debate. I have heard that. I have not been able to confirm that.
But I don't think that matters because the issue is if someone calls you a bad name, then if you want to call them a bad name back, you're bringing yourself to their level. And I think Tim had a fantastic opportunity to stand up and issue a public statement, like he did with his open letter, that just said, we have been asked to do this, we would prefer to see this pursued through the courts, and until such time as this has finished in the court process, Apple will maintain a level of decorum, a silence, however he wanted to phrase it, however his lawyers told him to say it. He could have said, okay, look, we didn't want to do this, but we're going to do our best to comply with the law and meet the demands of our customers and the requirements of FBI, and we won't talk about it again until this is resolved in a court of law. Because that's what really bothers me, is the fact that Tim's class could have gone up there tenfold for me, but actually, in the way that he's dealt with this now in the last few weeks, his class level has gone down. I don't see this as something that's there is no decorum around the responses from either side.
And this is where our friction comes in, because I can't imagine anything better than making a public stance on an issue like this. And not only do I think that that Tim Cook should get massive amounts of kudos for being willing to stand up for this issue and to make this issue public, I actually think this is something that, at the very least, our country needs, because right. It's such an important debate. We need the population educated on the issues.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you there. I think this is a massively important debate, and it absolutely needs to be had. But that needs to be had at the government level, with Obama, with other officials who want access, and Tim says no, and a whole debate around general encryption needs to be had. But when a court order is issued, that is, there is a sanctity around the fact that the court has decided that this is valid,
and
that should hold some that should hold some respect.
Are you just meeting us?
What do you mean?
The United States. No. I mean, are you?
The United States has Yeah, the United States has become essentially the most out of control reality TV show you could possibly imagine.
But even in the political rancor today, which is at I believe at unprecedented levels. I could be wrong about that. There could be some period in the 19th century where things were worse, but the political rancor today between the left and the right in the United States is, even if you go back to, say, before 9/11, before the 2000 election that pitted voting debacle in Florida in particular, even if you go back to before that, this is still. Taking things to the court of public opinion is a long and storied tradition for this country.
Which taking things to the court of public opinion when there is an overarching debate about encryption, I am totally with. When there is an issued court order from a court, there has to be a higher level of decorum around that. Otherwise, it cheapens the judicial process that has been followed, rightly or wrongly, but you know, rightly as in we, this is what we asked for, the judge looked at it, they set precedent and they issued the order, then that is a correctly followed process. Whether that act applied or not is a different thing, but you know, at the point that is issued by a judge, the judiciary has spoken, and there should be some degree of respect for the judiciary that this is a court order, and therefore it is different from an open public debate about end-to-end encryption, which does need to be had. I am not suggesting otherwise.
Yeah, it's still, I've had several days to think about this since our initial Twitter discussion, and I still can't wrap my head around that, because I think that the whether or not Apple handles this appropriately in the court, I still think that it is appropriate for Apple to comment on it publicly and to for one thing, to tell its shareholders what it's doing, which is essentially telling the public. And for another to again, because this entire conversation needs to be taken in the first place. I don't see how you talk about it publicly without talking about the court order.
No, my point would be that if you go into a courtroom and an appeal process, which Apple are perfectly entitled to, I've never said anything other than that, but if they go into a court process, then at least there's people there who are qualified to talk about it, who will use proper legal argument and precedent, and who will then come out with something that the public can see through decent journalism and reporting that will make some sense, rather than evocative language, which is currently being used, which does nothing else apart from polarize people. I mean, Twitter... At the moment, there, you know, the language over the last 2 weeks has escalated from what was fairly factual at the beginning to the point now that this is called signed malware, and now Tim's talking about this is the software equivalent of cancer, and I'm kind of like, wow, hang on, we are a long way away from a simple request for information via a court order that should have been followed through to its conclusion, even if that's the Supreme Court, fair enough, rather than starting to throw in he said, she said, and a whole pile of evocative language.
Hold on, though, because this is not a request for information. This is the an unprecedented court order.
Okay, we'll call it whatever you want, but it's not an unprecedented court. It's not an unprecedented court order. There is no. It's not.
Oh, it's absolutely unprecedented. A company has never been asked to create a new version of their code that is designed to be hacked.
Well, a company's never been ordered to create something that didn't exist in order to facilitate what the government wants.
So no locksmith has ever been asked to open a safe
That's a different thing. No, those tools already existed.
No, it's not. I think the thing is as well, if you go back to your overarching discussion about encryption, once you give your information to a third party, you lose all privilege over it. You can't suggest that you have a secret that you've told someone else, because the idea of a secret is that you kept it to yourself. So all this stuff about 23andMe and Ancestry.com, if you give your information to a third party, there is no legal privilege anymore. You have to have an understanding that when you say something to another party other than your doctor and your lawyer, there is no requirement for them to keep that quiet. None whatsoever. And that includes Apple. Your tech company is not legally privileged to you.
Yeah, and that's why Apple handed over the stuff that was on its servers.
Yeah, no, they did that.
So the order that's causing all the problems is for Apple to be ordered to make a new operating system.
Do you believe that you should be able to have a completely unbreakable box where you can store anything you like and no one can ever get into that box, even under judicial order?
Yes. Yes, I do. Absolutely.
And here's why. It's not because that is a side effect of the only way to keep everybody else from being able to get into it, too. It's not because I think that because I don't want properly served warrants, although quite frankly that has been a bit of a laugh over here in the States since 9/11 and the Patriot Act. But it's not that I don't want properly served warrants to be able to be executed. It's not because I think that the government and law enforcement don't have a right to get into something. It's just if they can get into it, everybody else can too.
If you didn't create, I mean, I think there is a need for encryption, don't get me wrong, and I'm not suggesting that I want everything that I possibly own out there, but I do have a certain requirement upon me to make sure that anything that I've got which is secret is kept secret and not passed to a third party for safekeeping, because then it is not secret anymore.
The information that's on
where that comes into this particular discussion.
It absolutely does, because of the fact that because Apple created a box that you couldn't get into doesn't mean that having a box that you can't get into isn't wrong.
But okay, well then you don't want encryption. There's no compromise.
But there. But you're talking about end-to-end encryption that is blocked by absolutely everyone. And to this point, you know, we've never really had solid end-to-end encryption that is uncrackable by anyone anytime. There's always been a key somewhere that someone's had. And if you look at certain cell phone manufacturers, when pressed by certain governments, they've just rolled over and given their encryption keys away anyway.
Well, yes, and that I believe would
I'm
be
not saying the name of it.
It's called wrong.
Well, I think it's wrong. I think morally it's bankrupt. I have no problem with that being the case. So Apple is not being asked for its the keys to the castle, if you like, in this encryption key. It is saying, okay, if you make this thing for me, I want you to allow me to get into this deposit box, this safe area that has been created. The person who owns that safe area is saying, yeah, have at it, because I want in there too. And Apple is now saying, no, we're not doing that. Well, that's fine. Apple can fight this. I have absolute respect for their right to appeal it. But they have to go through the process of appeal. They can't just start off by saying, we're not going to do this, which is effectively what Tim has done. He hasn't gone through an appeals process. He said, we are not doing this.
Well, he is saying that, and they're going through the appeals process too.
That's right.
What Apple ends up being done, he's also said that at the end of the day, we have to obey the law. He said that in the, I don't know if you saw the ABC interview he gave this week, but he said that at the end of the day, we have to obey the law.
I mean, if you look at the principle of controlling mind of an organization, there is no question in my mind that Tim is the controlling mind of Apple.
Oh, absolutely.
There is no question in my mind that if Apple as a corporation was to refuse to do this, even after they got past the Supreme Court, Tim would be the one that would be going, hang on, we've got enough evidence here to say that you've clearly incited this corporation not to comply with the law. I'm sorry, Tim, but you are going to court until the law is complied with. And I would totally back that because he has really stuck two fingers up to,
all right, so
to the judicial
let's back
process.
Up, let's back up. So we have a couple things here. First of all, there is the unprecedented nature of this order. And then there's the concept of whether or not we're entitled to privacy or not. And let's look at just the first thing first. There is the unprecedented nature of this order. Apple has been ordered to create software, to write software that does not exist for the benefit of government surveillance.
I've got a problem.
That is, in fact, unprecedented. Go ahead.
Well, I, in that sense of the actual physical act that's taking place, that's fine. But I see this more as an evolution of little pig, let me in. It's just a different method of little pig, let me in.
Okay. Not okay, but go ahead.
No, that's my point. Your point is about this is a unique thing. Okay, the technique of how to do this to get in may not have been done, and the drive from the government to say you will manufacture this so that we can get in may not have been done. But this is no different from getting some bloke who's got a really big hammer next door to come and knock down the door through to picking the lock, through to... Some kind of swipe card hacking device that gets you in through a keypad. You know, it's an evolutional process of as the encryption's gone up, the method of bypassing that has gone up.
The better analogy would be that the bloke next door is ordered to go to the blacksmith and make the hammer because the hammer doesn't exist.
It's fine. No problem with that. And the thing is, as well, if the guy next door is a blacksmith, he's got the technical capability to make the hammer, which is probably a really bad analogy when I sit and listen back to it. But if it requires a manufacturer to make something to assist in a legal process, I don't see a problem in that.
All right. Well, and here's part of the issue: is this legal? And that's key to this debate. Apple is saying no.
Yes.
The cat knows. No.
The cat knows better than you, Ewan.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm wrong.
Yeah. The see, there you go.
No. I'm with the cat.
And see, this is why Nightshade is my office manager. The insight she has is stunning.
So Ewan, we have in this country 220-ish years of history thereabouts. And in that 220 years, no company has been ordered to create something out of whole cloth at a government order. The All Writs Act has never been used in this particular fashion. This is, in fact, unprecedented. And I cannot get on board with your opinion that that's okay.
I have no idea whether this act is pertinent or not at all. To a certain degree, I think it's probably an old chisel's cut a brand new piece of wood, and they're doing the best that they can because there isn't a new chisel. But I think of the principle, I don't think that anyone has a right to withhold information. I don't think Apple has a right to make an unbreakable access. That's where I think there's a real issue because the problem I think you're going to get to is that if you make an unbreakable box, then the government will come along and say, open the unbreakable box. And you say, well, I can't because I made it unbreakable. They go, okay, well, don't make any more unbreakable boxes then. And that's a bigger issue. That's where this is going. And that's the wider issue that I think Tim is trying to deal with in the way that he wrote his open letter. But this was the wrong thing to do that on. That should have been done at a lobbying debate process within the Senate.
So that's going to be a third issue. So we're going to leave the unprecedented. We're going to move on from the unprecedented nature of this order. which I don't want to move on from, but we'll move on from
well,
that.
I don't disagree with you that this hasn't been done before, though, Brian. What I'm saying is I don't see it as unprecedented, as in this is way, 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 way out there, other than this is an evolution of Little Pig, Let Me In.
All right, so the way I'm seeing this, Brian, I'm not letting us move on quite yet. Almost. This would be akin to telling the locksmith, hey, you know the locks you've put on everyone's door? Go back and change them so they don't actually lock. Even though people already have these locks, go and change them. No, and then the locksmith is saying, okay, no problem. And now everyone thinks they're locking their doors, and they aren't anymore.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying that look, okay, if you're a lock manufacturer, generally speaking, you'll find that the keys that you manufacture, you've probably got a 50,000 to 1 ratio of in inverted commas unique keys. But within all of those, there's similarities where there will be an opportunity to manufacture probably five keys that will open all of those 50,000. So there is key manufacturers and safe manufacturers know what they produce, and they understand the batching and the sequence of the keys that they have produced. And you can't say that it's okay to, you know, I can lock my safe that's got my camera equipment in, but if I lose all the keys for that safe, then okay, there's a locksmith who can get me in. That would be a hacker who's doing something illegal maybe to do the process. But if I go back to the manufacturer and say, here's the type I've got, here's when I bought it, there will be a record that says, okay, this was the type of lock that was fitted, and they can send me two new keys. That's the analogy that I would go with, is that the manufacturer has the ability, if I lost the keys to my safe, to send me the correct keys, because there somewhere is a register of batch number to key issue.
All right. Well, so okay, but then let's move on to the unbreakable box thing. Are we ready to do that, Jeff?
Sure. I'm okay with that now.
I get the principle that you feel like in order to pursue a law enforcement goal, you know, I'm going to put a few words in your mouth, but I think this is right. Probably accurate. In order to pursue a law enforcement goal or a national intelligence goal, that the government should have legal recourse to access essentially anything.
I think the word anything's a bit big, because I think anything suggests that they can go anywhere, anytime, and do an NSA type thing. And the NSA thing was repugnant. I have absolutely no issue in saying that that was wholly illegal and wrong. What I do have a problem with is the fact that if a court process is followed, and if a request to the judiciary to oversee the access of information or physical location or device is done, and it's mandated by court order, that is the protection that society generally has always afforded to my right to privacy. It has to go to a high level for it to be compromised. And yeah, I don't okay. have a problem with that. That's the only word I take issue with there is anywhere, anytime, because that makes it lighter than I want it to be.
Fair enough. And that exception is I will accept that exception.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that with modern technology, if the government has that ability, or if a company keeps that ability to grant access to the government, all of the malicious bad actors around the planet have the same access.
So why is Apple's key signing not equally vulnerable? That has to be kept somewhere. Someone has that.
Okay, here's the difference. Apple's keys are kept by just Apple. If Apple were to create this special version of iOS, even though the FBI said Apple can destroy it afterwards, Apple can't destroy it. And it would be given over to third parties. It would have to be given over.
I don't see that. I don't see that. I understand that there is a risk of that, but I don't see it has to be given to third parties.
Here's how it would happen. So Apple is creating, or would be creating, a tool that would be used to produce evidence. So let's equate this to a polygraph machine. When you have a polygraph machine, that's an instrument, and that instrument is extracting evidence. And the evidence in this case would be the physiological responses that you have to specific questions. So Apple's software that they would create would be a tool that allows the FBI to then bypass the security guards that are in place so that they could access the contents of a specific device, in this case an iPhone, and then extract information from there. Now,
it's not bypassing the gate. What it's doing is making sure that the gate can't bolt itself afterwards.
Okay,
that's a different thing. The gate's still
fair
there.
Enough. But the point is that Apple is creating this tool that allows the FBI to get into the phone to get data out. So then what happens when you've created this instrument is that it now is open to scrutiny and review. And it needs to be. Otherwise, you have no way of validating that the information that has been pulled out as evidence is valid and is accurate. Therefore, the software that Apple has created will be subpoenaed by the defense, and then they will have this code. It will then also end up going to specialists that can review it, which would be privacy and security companies.
Hang on. Who's the defense in this case?
Well, hold on. So this case, yes.
Hang on, because we're talking about this case. Who's the defense in this case? There is no defense.
There is no defense in this case, but we already have multiple cases lined up waiting for this ruling to happen.
Which means that they're all different. And this is my point, if you want the Department of Justice want 12 iPhones unlocked, that is 12 courtrooms, that is 12 judges, that is 12 warrants that are all issued in unique circumstances that are laid before that court.
And that's 12 defenses that are going to subpoena the software.
And that's not how our case law works, though.
Fellas, you got to let me finish.
Okay.
Doesn't work if you don't let me finish. Those are 12 unique instances. The 174 that are in New York are 174 cases, 174 courtrooms, 174 judges looking over it. And if one of the factors in that is that the encryption process may become public by subsequent subpoena, that has to be something which is considered by that judge in refusing the warrant. It's a unique circumstance, and each of those cases is unique. In this case, there is no defense. There is no one that is going to challenge the application of this process. So therefore, when the judge has issued the warrant and when Apple complies and takes away everything afterwards, the FBI are probably going to get nothing more from this device than a few clues where to start looking for other evidence, because what they get from this phone is not going to be evidence and probably will never be used anywhere near a courtroom.
But
the next case is a different case. That's my point, Jeff. The next case will have the issue of subpoena against Apple to release code, and that's when it should be refused by the judge who issues the order.
But that's not how our case law system works, though.
It does work that way.
Once the precedent is set, it will be used again.
There is no precedent with compliance with a warrant. There is precedent with case law, and this is not a case.
This is absolutely a case, and this is going to generate case law. And
go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, so what's happening right now, and the FBI and Apple are both very well aware of this, is that the FBI is working to set a precedent with this specific case. And the precedent is that the government can compel a company to create a tool that works around security measures on an encrypted device for the purpose of collecting evidence. Yeah. So once that has been established, then you have all these other cases that are lined up that are going to use that precedent that comes out of this specific investigation, this specific case, and they're going to use that to get similar orders for their own cases.
Okay, so all you've talked about there is not precedent. What you've talked about is this is doable. So
that's absolutely precedent.
Because we already know this is doable.
Right. And so
it's not precedent because there's no case. There's no case law.
Yeah, but they're establishing case law with...
No, they're not.
They're trying to.
No, you can't establish case law by the execution of a warrant. You establish case law by a case in court.
The FBI going to a court and obtaining a court order will still be a precedent.
Nope. Because it only relates to this phone. It doesn't relate to any wider aspect. If there are safeguards in here in the warrant which are specified which relate to this phone, unless they can be absolutely followed in exactly the same way, you wouldn't even say this is doable then. So each of those separated phones that is subsequent to this one has to meet criteria whereby security can be maintained. And if you're talking about the fact that there is a possibility that a subpoena could be issued afterwards for the software, then that would compromise the security of the act, and the judicial system must, not just even should, they must refuse that warrant. This is not that. This is not end-to-end encryption wider debate. This is a different case entirely, and that's been my point all along.
I appreciate what you're saying, and I will very respectfully disagree.
That's okay. We're having a debate, fellas.
Yes, we are. I get what you're saying, Ewan, but I really think you're wrong. This is setting a precedent, absolutely, and the precedent is that Apple and other companies can be compelled to do exactly what the FBI is asking.
Let me approach this from a different standpoint.
Okay.
So our understanding, Jeff and I, our understanding is that this will establish a precedent. Ewan's understanding is that it will not. From that standpoint, Ewan's arguments are more easy to understand for me.
Let's be clear. There's a difference between precedent as in we've done this before, and precedent as in this is a legal precedent which compels you to further action. That's entirely separate, guys. And this is not legal precedent.
And that's where I disagree with you. I believe this is legal precedent because this is part of a federal criminal investigation. And the FBI, even though I believe they do not expect to find any evidence that leads to further arrests, are moving forward as if they will. Now, the court agrees and sees this as a necessary part of a criminal investigation that is currently not involving any additional suspects because the two in this case are dead. But the fact that the court is willing to agree with the FBI's side sets a legal precedent in the United States. And that precedent is something that other courts are other law enforcement agencies are champing at the bit to get at because they want to compel Apple to do the same thing the FBI is, which is give them the tools that they need to bypass the passcode lockout mechanism so that they can unlock an iPhone as part of a criminal investigation.
Yeah, to our point, Ewan, note the parties who have said they're waiting for the outcome of this because they've got stuff they want to do too.
Yeah, but
because they understand that there will be a precedent set.
But the 12 iPhones that you're talking about from Department of Justice are already in the process of looking for warrants. They are not waiting for this decision. That's not it.
In Manhattan, they are waiting for this so that they can apply for their warrants.
They have said
that exactly.
Let me also, we need to interrupt with another thing. We should probably go over our legal bona fides for Ewan because he probably doesn't understand the impressive nature of our of those bona fides. Jeff.
Oh, that's true. Ewan, I have played an attorney on stage.
And I have watched several legal shows, and I think I sat in an audience where there was an attorney once.
And I've got a postgraduate degree in law, fellas.
Do you really?
Yeah, I really do.
Oh, that's fantastic. He actually has some real bona fides.
And yet, here we are, beating our heads against that wall.
I had no idea. How familiar are you with the U.S. side of this?
We covered it. We've got it. We had a guy who was an ex-American attorney at the university that I was at, and he came in and did a few sessions on American law just so that we got an appreciation of separations and differences. And there's some case law which is drawn in the UK legal system and in the American system from British and American cases opposing. So that there is, because your legal system, much as it shames me to admit it, is fundamentally based around our own.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yes.
Yeah. So you're not.
But we've diverged.
Well,
it's based, we've had all kinds of shenanigans centuries. Yeah, no. Couple of centuries. See, you're welcome to laugh at me being proud of 200 years, by the way.
No, that's fine.
You've drunk in pubs that are older than this country.
Your legal system is closer to us than Scotland's legal system is to us. That's how akin it is. But you know, the things that we're talking about here, the legal precedent versus the judicial precedent versus this has been done before, are all entirely separated things. And that's my problem. And that's the trouble I've got with Twitter, because Twitter is bandying words around that it really just does not understand. And that's where the debate is becoming a circus, as opposed to a venerable, court-driven, legally driven process that should be honoured with some respect and is not.
Yeah, okay. I'm now better understanding why you're wrong on this whole thing.
I'm breaking out the popcorn now.
I haven't called either of you wrong. I've just said I disagreed.
But you're welcome to call us wrong. So I have this thing.
I wouldn't be that rude.
I guess I am. But
what it comes down to is you and is the gentleman
on the Blooming Mac show.
There you go. See, I told you I was fired. I have one of my fundamental philosophies in life is that when you think that someone else is acting or saying something that is crazy, there is almost always a piece of missing information, because very few people are actually crazy. And I have, since identifying this sort of fundamental concept, I tend to obsess over understanding what that missing information is. And in this particular case, I honestly could not understand where you were coming from. Now I understand that the missing piece of information is that you believe there will be no precedent set. And understanding that now, I understand that that's where we disagree, and kind of like giddy up.
So hang on. What we're talking about here, if you talk about the issue of a court, you're talking about judicial precedent. What are we saying here is not going to apply, or is going to apply, to the next phone that's presented? Because that's the point, is the judicial precedent. No matter what legal precedent you suggest, you could say it's Armour versus Skeen. You could say it's Donoghue versus Stevenson, Kapara versus Dickman. You know, you can list all the case law that you want to put into this, but none of that applies if there is a successful argument that that application of that precedent does not apply to this case. So if you look at the judicial precedent of the issue of this warrant / court order, the next phone, if this is passed and upheld, the next phone has to have exactly the same circumstances, has to have something which is absolutely comparable. And none of the other phones that are coming to this have. That's the point.
And I think that the prosecution will argue in a very narrow aspect that this is the same. And what they will argue is that they have an iPhone or other smartphone that contains evidence, or potentially contains evidence, related to a criminal investigation that's necessary so that they can wrap the case up. And then you'll have Apple arguing, no, this is a different case. And so they will argue the points that I know are rolling through your mind right now.
Thanks for explaining court procedure, Jeff. That's it, though. But that's the point. And one of the things that Apple's lawyers has to do in the next case is stand up and go, right, one of the compounding issues of this fact is that if the evidence that's gathered from this phone is placed forward for a criminal proceeding against any of the parties discovered in it, there will be a possibility of the key encryptions being outed. That's a technical term. And if If that be the case, then we would say that this is entirely different, because in the last case, the people who would have been prosecuted are already dead, therefore it did not apply. That is perfectly acceptable as a deviation from this precedent, and that would I would hope that the judge would have enough from this case now, from having the to's and fro's and the response from Apple this week about why they shouldn't comply, to say, right, okay, this clearly does not match the same case, therefore, I'm sorry, you're going to have to give me a better argument, DOJ, why you want into this phone that takes into account Apple's concerns. And that's what my point is. The judiciary is the barrier. They are the ones that go between the wild, stupid rhetoric that's talked on Twitter and the fundamental, sensible law and decision-making that I do put my faith in, I'm afraid, fellas.
So, understanding that that's where your difference in opinion is stemming from, honestly, I can accept it. And I can also accept the fact that I may be wrong on this. I fear that I'm not, and I fear that
I
also fear the reality that once Apple makes this operating system and installs it onto iOS, that operating system is by definition out in the wild. The FBI will have a copy of iOS that bypasses the locks and safety measures that are on the device.
Come on, you've got to go back to the original warrant here, Brian, and there are safeguards in there for the protection of that phone and that OS. I'm sorry.
That is true.
I'm sorry, mate. You can't. That's scaremongering, man. That's not the truth.
So, yeah, in this point, Brian, Ewan is right. The warrant says that Apple can keep the iPhone in-house and apply the software to the device in-house, but then has to give the FBI remote access to the device so that they can remotely try passcodes. So, in that sense, yes, it could stay contained. Now,
who owns it when it's done?
The FBI gets the phone back, but since the OS is sideloaded in RAM instead of into the firmware, Apple would be able to keep the operating system.
Okay,
that safe provision, that provision is outlined in the warrant or the court order. That is, that's what's really impressed me about this, is that they haven't just said little pig, and throw the door open, or I'll huff or I'll puff. They have clearly listed in the warrant that there are safeguards that Apple may take, and that's why I feel they've gone a little bit over the top in the response.
Now, I'm glad that those safeguards are listed in there, because if this does turn out to be a truly one-off, very isolated case, then, and assuming that there are no subsequent arrests related to the data that is extracted from the iPhone, then Apple can keep this contained. But if there is an arrest that comes from data that is extracted from this iPhone, then that operating system is going to get subpoenaed as an instrument, and it's out of Apple's hands, and it's going to be in the wild.
But at that point, Apple can have destroyed it, because that's in the court order as well. And this is the stupid part, because if the FBI was so stupid as to put any of that evidence forward in a subsequent prosecution, they're not going to get it supported. They know that. That's the
right, but look
point.
At the wording. It doesn't say that Apple can destroy the operating system when they're done extracting data.
It doesn't say that they can't. That's the point.
It says that they can destroy it.
There is complete secrecy on their methods in this, Jeff. They do not have to divulge any of the methodology that they use.
But they will.
No, Apple
they,
do not
they will,
have
they
to
will
do
have
that.
To go into court and testify as to their methodology. If no. There is an arrest related to data that comes out of this iPhone.
No, they won't.
Could.
No, because
the defense would be remiss if they didn't.
Yes, but the FBI would be stupid to take anything that they get from this phone and try and use it in a court. That's my point. Because it's so screwed up at this point that it would be absolutely no use. A decent defense lawyer would drive a bus through it. All this is doing is giving them ideas for where to look elsewhere, to close off some avenues that say, right, we're going to look down this phone and we may see a GPS coordinate that might lead us to a GPS coordinate we already had for someone that we knew that was part of a cell. And that's the point, is that these guys are terrorists. They operate in cells. These two people were not operating defunct from everyone else, which is why they destroyed their own iPhone so that there's no point of any data coming out. But there may be something in here that just correlates, that says, oh, hang on, let's go and check this location. And while you stood staking out this location because the phone went there with the other phone, you might find something that you could then pursue for further evidence. This phone is not giving them any evidence to come out in a court. I'm sure of it.
And I think you're right. And I think the FBI knows they're not going to get evidence out of this phone that's going to lead them to court.
Yes. This is due diligence in closing off dead ends, I think, more than anything else, so that they can't be criticized for it later. But if they get a few little twinges that are kind of like, oh, hang on a second, let's just follow this up, that's all it is. It's a hunch. It's almost like a recorded hunch rather than a smoking gun. Excuse the bad pun.
Even I respect your position here, and I respect your faith in.
But yeah, go on, that always comes with a but, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can see but a mile off.
I respect your faith in the beneficence of the FBI in this case.
No. That is definitely putting words in my mouth, mate. I have a faith in the judicial process, nothing else. I don't have any faith in the FBI, and I certainly don't have any faith in Apple, which is why I give them none of my details. I have faith in a judicial process which protects me from my government, protects my government from doing stuff that it should not do. And I also have a judicial system which protects me from corporations, because it allows me to sue them, and it allows them to take preemptive action against them to stop them ripping me off. The judicial process is what needs to be honored here, and it is not being honored. That's my point right at the very start.
And my big concern, Ewan, is that you're putting too much faith in our judicial system.
Well, if your judiciary is corrupt, mate, that's your own problem. You need to solve that. But I have definite faith in my own. And we have an extremely good judiciary over in this country.
I'm not saying corrupt, but a more appropriate term would be technologically ignorant. And I think that our judiciary would be more inclined to side with the side of law enforcement in a warrant in another case that would require Apple to hand over unlocking tools, simply because they don't understand what the ramifications are, even when explained to them.
I actually have I have a little more faith in the judiciary. I know that you can. The bigger you are in terms of government, the more likely you are to find the judge that'll do the thing that you want. I think that's especially the case when it comes to
the FBI, court shopping happens all the time here.
Yeah. But by all sides. And
yes.
But I still have an overall faith in the judiciary. What I don't have a lot of faith in is something that Ewan was saying earlier, which is just the notion of whether or not the government feels entitled to get into everything, and which comes back to the notion that if the government can get into it, so can the various bad actors around the planet, which is why I believe we actually should have unbreakable boxes. And that's probably a source of disagreement still between us, Ewan.
I think this is the whole point that I made at the start as well, is that if you want to talk about end-to-end encryption and whether it's viable, whether it's lawful, whether it's moral, that's an entirely different debate from this phone. That's my point. This is not that.
Okay, we have 5 minutes left, so think carefully about what you guys want to say, because we don't have much time.
Well, the very first thing is that what I said earlier, now that I understand where Ewan's coming from, I can he doesn't seem crazy to me. And if he's right, indeed. What's that?
Praise indeed.
Well, it truly is, because I didn't understand when we were having our discussion on Twitter. I couldn't understand where you were coming from.
It's 140 characters, mate. I don't know where I'm coming from.
I will also bow my head to Ewan's substantially greater understanding of this, even though he's from a different country, as it were.
And hasn't watched the same law shows you have.
Exactly. Exactly. I've seen every episode of Castle at least once, sometimes twice.
Most of my legal knowledge goes back to Matlock.
That's some hardcore law right there.
Even though you're one up on me. So I'm never one to stand my ground in the face of being unsure. And I'm going to tip my head to Ewan for possibly knowing enough of this, and that maybe my own outrage is stemming from a place of ignorance. That's entirely possible. I'm not willing to say that that's for sure the case, but I certainly acknowledge that it's possible.
Mate, we set a dinner place at the table for my ignorance, so don't worry about it.
You know, and my concerns about how this whole thing could play out come from following the legal system in the United States very closely for many, many years.
Jeff is, we were joking about a lot of stuff here, but Jeff is a former cop.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever that's worth. Yeah. All right. So there we have it. What do the listeners think?
Yes. I want to know, because getting validation for you and or for us is always welcome. So shoot us an email. What's that email, Brian?
It is acm@macobserver.com.
What's our Twitter? I'm totally putting you on the spot.
@ContextMachine.
Well done, sir.
What's your Twitter, Ewan?
I'm @EwanRankin, EwanRankin. And if you've got any hate mail, you can send it to BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com.
Now, I actually think that a lot of our listeners are going to think that you handed our asses to us on a plate.
I have a feeling you're right, Brian.
I love how the fact you guys said, look, we've only got 5 minutes left. Be careful what you say, guys. And then I never got a word in.
Oh, well, do you want to get another word in?
No, I don't. It's okay. I said what I wanted to say.
We were being very careful about what you said.
I'm joking.
we followed our own advice. I don't know where the confusion's coming from.
I think that, I mean, the Mac show a couple of weeks ago, Mac versus FBI, it got really heated, and it was, you know, there was a lot of people with a lot of passionate points. And the one thing I take exception to with some people on Twitter is the fact that they don't debate with me. And I mean, as in, not that they agree with me, but when I make a counterpoint, they address my counterpoint. And the thing that I loved about the Mac show the other week was there was points and counterpoints made, but everyone addressed everyone else's opinion in the discussion. And that's what we've done today, which I think is really, really valuable. I'm passionate about it, but I don't, at the end of the conversation, if we still don't agree with each other, that's totally fine, because that's what democracy is about, chaps. It is not about being shouted down. But the problem is, on Twitter, I say one thing and someone just spouts some rhetoric that's absolutely nothing to do with that, or moves on to a different point because they haven't got a challenge for it. That's not debate.
I agree completely. That is not debate.
Yeah, that's, like I said, we're getting our asses handed to us, man.
But
who invited this guy?
But Brian?
Yes.
To make us feel better, there were no ad hominem attacks at all. Ewan flayed us in the most beautiful and elegant way I have ever seen.
Yeah, but it just seems like a terrible idea. Hey, do we have to put this out?
No, but we are gluttons for punishment, so this is totally going out.
Can't I just go, and then it's gone?
Yes, and that's going to work just as well as it had in every other case we've used.
Excellent.
That. Yeah. All right. Well, we really do need to wrap up, so I'm going to play some music so that we can officially wrap the show up. Here it comes. And that's this special edition of Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the people at the, I don't know, what is it, TMO?
Yeah, the Mac Observer people.
right? Bandwidth's provided by CashFly, bases by Boom, recorded just for us. That's all for this week. And Ewan, thanks for being with us, man.
Yes, really, pleasure, thank
man. You. Thanks for having me on. I really loved this afternoon. Really, really top job.
This was loads of fun. And listeners, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. You call it a good time, I call it a bad idea.
Tomato, potato, whatever.